Experts claim there is nothing tougher than a diamond. But at Diamonds Direct, we beg to differ. Have you ever met a mother? Strong, radiant, timeless. This Mother's Day, give her the gift that meets her match. With diamond jewelry starting at $200, plus Diamonds Direct's exceptional quality and unbeatable everyday price, you're sure to give her a gift that wows this generation and the next to come. Experience the thrill of jewelry shopping done right at Diamonds Direct. Diamonds Direct. Your love, our passion.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
To be here with Madison Pruitt Trout. You match your book.
I do.
Do you do
planned.
That?
It was planned.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Have to.
Are you only wearing pink on this book tour?
I'm trying to wear pink. I was told by my team that that's the way to go so that we match and everything's in cohesion. But I also am just in my pink era. I think it's perfect for like the Barbie movie and the Eras tour and everything else that's going on right now.
Yes.
So it all worked out.
So how are we sounding? Okay, is this good? We're testing with a mic. This is called Get Real. Just, you know, go ahead and test. I'm turning side profile. Got the camera rigged just right. Maddie, do you go with Maddie or Madison? Or both?
Either.
Okay.
I feel like I introduce myself as Madison, but everyone calls me Maddie.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I was reading your book, and I was thinking to myself, like, man, you would think I wouldn't know how to sit in a chair. I was reading your book, and I was like, man, this is so my life on some level. I was so boy crazy my entire life, and you've had a big life, like, and I feel like, and I loved how you're kind of explaining it like a game. Like, originally you got rejected when you were 16 years old, and that started you on this whole journey of, does he love me, does he not? And then it was kind of like the cycle of seeing if people would fall in love with you, and but it's not like you're trying to do it on purpose. You just were looking for that love and that validation through another human.
Yeah.
And I feel like I did the same thing. And then I never could give the love back because I was so scared they would reject me.
Totally. Totally. That was like my entire everything until probably a year and a half ago. And I like think back to that 16-year-old version of myself. And I'm like, I wish I could just go up to you and be like, there's so much more than what you're looking for and what you're trying to settle for. But I also am super grateful for the journey that's led me here, because I've just learned so much about life, about love, about myself, about my faith, about my identity along the way. And I'm so grateful for that. And even I started writing this book single. And so I was single and miserable and bitter and angry. And I was like, everyone else is in relationships. Everyone else is getting married. Literally my best friend at the time had just started dating someone. And I just started feeling so left behind, left out, and again, just boy crazy wanting to be with someone. And that's where I just really felt so, just like, got so convicted of like, I am looking for the right thing, just in all the wrong places. And I gotta stop being so thirsty for love and so thirsty for attention. And so I really wrote from that place, and I talk all about that in the book. Like, I have a whole chapter on being a pick me girl. And
I love that. I actually was taking some notes on your pick me. Yes, like, the pick me. I thought that was really awesome. And tell me about that. What is a pick me girl?
Yeah. So I really wanted to take like all the different like cultures approach, you know, the trends, the songs. I wanted to take a lot of those things and kind of add, you know, my testimony to those things and the truth that I've found in Christ through all of that. And so it's really cool. Like, I have each chapter, like, one's titled The Pick Me Girl, one's titled He Loves Me, He Loves Me Not. You know, I have one on Drive It Before You Buy It. I have all kinds of things.
Sex Before Marriage, which I think is such a great point. Oh my God. And you even talk about pornography and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Which, We get real,
which I relate to there too, because I found my grandfather's Playboys when I was like 8 years old, and I just was obsessed with looking at them. Yeah. I had never seen anything like it in my life. And I was like, am I addicted to porn?
Yeah.
And then like anytime I could go to like a TV where there was like options to watch porn, I would want to see it, just because like, how can you not? It's like watching watching a car accident, but opposite, you know, you can't stop watching.
Yeah.
I love that you really hit some core issues in this book.
Yeah.
And I love like with The Pick Me Girl, you actually took it all the way as far as you can to The Bachelor. I mean, that's as like pick me as you can get.
I'm like, I was in the most pick me environment you could be in, because it's true. Like, how do you not have that feeling when you're on a show like that? You know,
but you got picked.
I want to be picked. I want to be ish.
So what happened? It was a pilot
picked to ish.
You were picked. And then what happened at the end?
So I walked away the day before the proposal and just did not feel like, you know, our values and our convictions aligned, and just didn't feel like he was the person that I was going to be able to build a life of faith and purpose with. And so I walked away from the relationship, and then
were the final one, right?
There's two of us.
Okay. Okay.
And then he ended up getting engaged to the other girl. And then they got broke
back
it off.
With the original girl that he dated before the show.
No, then we got back together.
Y'all got back together?
We went into the finale together. And then after the finale, that's when I broke up, where we broke up again. And then he got back together with another girl. It was very complicated.
It was very love.
It was very complicated. And it was, you know, a pressure cooker environment, such high, intense emotions. And truly look at that time, and I am grateful for all that I learned. Like, I think it definitely tested my faith. I think it tested my identity. Like, where am I looking to and turning to for my value and validation? Am I trying to find it in a rose? Am I trying to find it in, you know, being picked by this person, and just trying to remind myself and the girls around me, like, hey, our worth is not in this person choosing us. Like, our worth and value is in something so much greater than a rose, than a show, than likes, than compliments. Like, it's so much greater than that. And, you know, reminding myself, like, if you don't get this date, if you don't get this rose, like, this rejection just leads to, you know, God's redirection to something better. And having that peace and knowing that I don't want to allow other people who maybe don't even know who they are to determine who I am and my worth and value. And just continuing to get to that place of like, okay, Maddie, this is who you are. This is what you believe. This is what you value. Like, don't leave it in the hands of other people. Like, you stand firm to who you are and what you hold as valuable. And so I tried to remind myself of that. I was not perfect by any means, you know, and there's definitely moments, you know, that I would go back and probably try and challenge myself and encourage myself a little differently. But I'm super grateful for all that it taught me and what I learned along the way in that process.
Do you think that people actually, well, you being the people, like, is it like real love, or is it honestly, is it like just this, like, the pressure of this one person? Because how can that many women love one guy?
Honestly, when you're so in the environment, I am the most practical, logical person ever. And I was in that environment, and you get swept up, you get caught up in it. And you know, you're all focused on this one person, and you all want to be picked and chosen by this one person. And it can get really easy in the midst of that to lose yourself and to compromise and to, you know, change yourself to be liked or picked. And that's why I had to continue to remind myself, Maddie, this is who you are. This is who you are. This is who you are. Because it's so easy in that environment to lose yourself. And in a lot of different environments, for anyone listening, like, I've seen that even the pressures that I felt throughout high school, throughout college, you know, even after graduating, of wanting to fit in, wanting to be picked, wanting to be chosen, whether it be by a guy or a friend group or whatever it may be. And so, yeah, I definitely, it was a lot. And I would say, like, the feelings were real. Like, I definitely am not someone who can, like, fake it. Like, I just can't do that. People know when I'm not being real. They're like, I can see it on your face. I'm not good at hiding it. So it definitely was real for me. But I think as soon as, you know, I made that decision of just like, this isn't going to work. And we knew that that was the best decision to make. I had such peace about that.
Did you feel pressure, like deciding that you were not going to have sex? Like, you know, like that, wasn't that a thing that you made clear?
Yeah. Like to not go into the fantasy suites?
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely had voices around me with opinions, but I would say that, you know, for me, I already knew what I was going to do before mm-hmm. I even got on the show. Like, I think.
You talk about that in the book.
Yeah.
Setting ahead of time. Like, yes. What is it? Like,
pre-deciding.
Yes.
I think that is such a good practice for anything in life. You know, I think often we find ourselves in moments of pressure and temptation and we just let our feelings lead us, or we let, you know, our circumstance or environment lead us. And then, it leads down this road of like resentment and regret. And we're like, how did I get here? Versus if we actually took the time to ask ourselves the really hard questions and decide before the heat and pressure of the moment, then we can really live a life based off of our values and our convictions rather than like our feelings that are always changing. Because I know for me, like I've been in moments where my feelings were telling me one thing one moment and then something completely different another moment. And I'm like, well, which is true? And so I've had to go back to like, well, what do I value? And then let me set up like, you know, disciplines and practices and decisions based off of that. And so I had already decided before the show, like I'm no matter what, if I were to make it that far, like, because of what I value, I'm not going to go into the fantasy suites. I'm going to, you know, express me waiting until marriage and my stance on purity. So I'd already pre-decided that, but, you know, you still get in the moment and there's still temptation and there's still pressure. But yeah, it was just a lot of prayer and then just, yeah, going for it and being like, well, this is what I value. I don't know what's going to, you know, come of this or how you're going to take it or other people are going to take it, but this is who I am.
I love that. I think that is so great. And I love that you're taking a stand for God. Like, I feel like I have always been spiritual and I've always believed in God and the higher thing. But like recently, I'm just realizing it is so important to just talk about God all the time, include mm-hmm. him in your life, share. And when you're going through something stressful, instead of like just trying to work it all out as you're human, really lean on God. And I feel like you do so many practices like that. Like literally your whole book is like a how to. The love everybody wants, but it's really like, it's already yours. But okay, so you talk about, there's several cycles that you do, like the shame cycle, which I thought that was so great, and the purpose of rejection. So talk to me about that a little bit.
Yeah. So I talk about in the book, like the purpose of rejection, that sometimes we need to like realize that we got to thank God for the closed doors and the no's and the rejections just as much as we thank him for the yeses and the open doors. Because I think it's a lot easier to be like, yes, I got what I wanted. I got what I asked for. Thank you, God. But we forget to thank him for even the, you know, unanswered prayers the way we wanted them to be answered, or the closed doors or even the rejections. Because I look back at my life and I'm like, praise God. You know, I'm like, praise God that that didn't work out the way I wanted it to or the way I thought it should. Or, you know, he didn't answer the prayer according to how I wanted it to be answered because he saw the bigger picture. And I've seen, you know, when you take your rejection to God, he really can use it as redirection for something so much better. And also as protection. I think I've seen in my life, like sometimes rejection came in the form of God protecting me for something that I was about to settle for. Mm. And there were many times that I was like, no, God, bless this. I want this. Like, this is what I'm going after. And I look back now and I'm like, oh my goodness, like that could have been really, really bad. Had I settled for that. And I don't know who I'd be today. I don't know where I'd be today had, you know, God answered that prayer. And so I've even seen, you know, rejection, you know, be something as amazing as just protecting you for something that I think in our human nature, sometimes we want to settle for. And so I've seen rejection as a blessing. Of course, it never feels good in the moment. Mm-mm. No one loves rejection. You know, I remember one of the first times I felt it was 16 years old and I got cheated on and I found out in front of, it was a very traumatic moment. It's like the biggest like high school drama moment you can imagine. I'm sitting at the lunch table with like my entire grade and, you know, someone walks up and tells me that my boyfriend had cheated on me, you know, with another girl. And of course I had to play it cool. Like, oh, well, his loss, you know, that stinks for him. But, you know, ran to the bathroom and cried for hours. And it was so horrible. Like, I just remember in that moment questioning everything about myself.
Like, what's wrong with me?
And what's wrong with me? Why did he choose someone else?
Like,
you know?
Am I not good enough? And you go through that too, like reasons people settle. There's a lot. There's a long list of it. Like what's wrong with me? Why am I not worthy? Am I not good enough? What do I need to change? What are some of those things that people settle?
Yeah. I mean, I would say one is they, you know, feel unworthy of something better. I think for some people it's like, oh, I'm just going to settle for this relationship because maybe this is just as good as it's going to get, or maybe I don't deserve better than this. Maybe because of my past or because of my upbringing or because of, you know, the decisions I've made up until this point, like this is what I deserve. You know, I think for some people they fear that nothing better would come. And so they're like, oh, well, you know, this is just all it's ever going to be. This is probably how it is for everyone. I think there's so many different reasons, or we're just tired of waiting. I think for some people, it's just like, hey, I'm tired of waiting. And this is just like, this is what I'm going to do. Like,
I'm ready now.
Yeah, I'm ready now. So everyone else is, you know, in relationships, and you feel that pressure of just culture and your environment. And it's like, okay, I'm just going to settle because it's a thing to do. And I don't want to fall behind, and I don't want to be the only one, and I'm running out of time or whatever it may
be. Probably not worth more.
Yeah, like exactly. Saying. So I think there's a lot of different, you know, things that can fall under that category. But yeah, my biggest thing is if I could just like send one message to like all my girls, it's like, don't settle, please. If you have any check in your heart or any feeling of just like lack of peace about a relationship or about someone, like lean into that, lean into that hesitation, lean into, you know, that questioning. Don't run from it or act like it's not there. Like, lean into that, because most of the time our gut, you know, feeling is right.
I would say like all the time.
We almost always know. I mean, like, I don't know. I feel like every time I either was like justifying, you know, being in the relationship, like, no, you don't understand. You don't know our relationship. And it's like, but deep down, I knew that it wasn't good.
And what's on the other side of settling? Because you obviously didn't settle. Now you're married to this amazing guy, Grant. Y'all are so cute. Like, adorable.
Thank you.
And I feel like made in heaven. I watched an Instagram of y'all like doing a date night. Was it probably Lake Waco? Going to Lake Waco.
Yes.
Like, painting.
Oh, it was so fun. It was like a date deck, like cards, and it told us what to do. He's like so not creative when it comes to dates. So I finally was like, there's a date deck. We're going to open up a card and it's going to tell us what to do, and then we're going to do it. And he's like, praise God. He's like, I don't have to come up with it. And I'm like, okay. So for anyone listening, there are date decks that can tell you what kind of dates to do. But it was so cute. It was like, yeah, go buy, you know, the little canvases and paints and find, you know, a scenic background and paint.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home, where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
So what is on the other side of settling? When you found Grant, and he told you he loved you, like, real fast.
Yeah.
But you were, like, ready for it. Because you're like, okay, I have now done all of my due diligence and my, like, I've done my trial and error out there. I know what I'm looking for.
Totally.
What is not settling? What does that feel like? Mm.
I think when we do settle, we immediately like set ourselves up for just confusion and chaos and just a lack of peace. Like there's been multiple times in my life where even if it was just for a season where I settled, you know, in relationships for 2-3 years, where I continued putting off what I knew I needed to do because I feared not being in a relationship again. I feared, you know, all my friends getting married and me being the only one who didn't get married. And so I gave all these excuses, I justified, and I continued to stay in the relationship. And what followed was a lack of peace, discontentment, just chaos, just constant confusion. And it just led me to being in not the best like headspace. And then now I can say, you know, choosing to go and follow God's way and trust like when it was of him and when it was not has led to now being in a place of like there's just peace and there's joy and there's freedom. And it's not perfect. Like, it's definitely not perfect. We definitely still have moments of disagreeing and conflict and, you know, questioning the other person. But I would say like for the most part, there's so much peace and God really is like the center and the foundation of our marriage and our relationship. And it's so amazing when you know like you can trust the other person because you can trust like their faith and their values. Mm. And there's someone worth following. Like I knew for me from the very beginning, Grant was someone worth following. And so I knew he was going to be able to lead me closer to, you know, to God, closer to my purpose. He would push me in, you know, even just like valuing myself and my identity. And so I knew like from the beginning, like you said, like I knew from literally day one, our first date, I was like called my mom and I was like, I'm going to marry this man. And it was just the way he like talked about the Lord. It was the way he talked about God. It was the way he, you know, treated people, like even our waiter, he just like treated so well and asked questions and just made everyone around him feel so loved. And the way he shared, you know, his story, his testimony, I was just blown away. I was like, I've never met a man like this in my life. Like, I would follow you anywhere. So I just
even
knew.
To Waco, Texas.
Even to Waco, Texas, which I cried about, by the way.
You were not excited?
I was not excited. But then I felt peace about it. And I was like, okay. Like, he definitely didn't drag me there kicking and screaming. I definitely found, like, peace before we said yes and committed. But it was not my first choice.
Where were y'all living before?
So we got married in Dallas and then went on our honeymoon, got back from our honeymoon. And then that was when we moved to Waco.
You're a Texas girl?
Well, not born and raised. I was born in Alabama.
Okay.
Yeah. So I'm an Alabama girl. And then I'm 3 years in Texas now.
With him?
Well, I lived with my roommate Janine for 2 years. And then him and I met while I was living with Janine. And then after we got married was when we moved to Waco and lived together. So, yeah.
How'd y'all meet?
Through a mutual friend on a podcast talking about actually my
like you and him were on the podcast at the
okay,
same
no.
time?
So we were – I was on a podcast with – a mutual friend of his and mine. And I had not made the connection. I didn't even know he existed. And so I was on this podcast, podcast ended, and the guy that was interviewing me was like, are you single? And I was like, yeah, but I'm not looking for anyone. This was like the one time in my life where I was like,
I'm not looking.
Like, I'm busy. I'm overwhelmed. Like, I don't need anything else in my life right now.
The whole world has been weighing in on my love life. It's a little much.
I was like, I'm fine. And anyways, the podcast ended. He asked me that question. I was like, yeah, but I'm single. And he was like, well, let me, like, there's someone that came to my mind. I'm going to think about it. I'm going to pray about it. And then if I feel good, like, I'm going to, you know, like, try and set you guys up. And I was just like, okay, like, whatever. And like a month passed by. And then he was like, I really think you're supposed to go on a date with this guy. But he wouldn't tell me who. And then my roommate, Janine at the time, she like knew him. Like, they were like friends from just church. And so I pressured her. I was like, who is it? Because I knew she knew. And I was like, and she's just, I knew she would tell me.
She would buckle.
Yeah, I was like, you have to tell me. And she finally told me. And so I like looked him up and I was like, he's really cute. He's played basketball. He loves Jesus.
And
I was
you
like,
love
perfect.
Basketball and Jesus. Oh, yes. This is so good.
Oh, yeah. I was like, this is a match made in heaven. Amazing. And so I was like, sure, I'll go on a date with him. And then the rest
that was
of
it.
Yeah.
Like immediately?
Literally immediately.
Were y'all both equally in love right away?
Yeah, I would say I think he was a little bit more he lived a pretty private life. Mm. So I would say like at first he was like, let me figure this out, this public life. All right. So I would say like that took a little bit of adjustment for him. But he knew at the beginning, like he was like, I've never met a woman who like was so sure of her faith and her identity in Christ as you were. And so like that's one of my favorite compliments that he gives me. about me, but that's what he kind of felt from the beginning. But me, from literally night one, I was like, no, that's my husband. I was like, that's for sure him. That's him.
Was he intimidated with your past dating life, it being so public? I mean, or was he just so sure in his faith and you're so sure in his faith that like it was not an issue? Because I mean, that is a little intimidating. And you got a ton of social media followers. I mean, you got a lot of people after you, like looking at you, weighing in, you know, big old public romance.
Yeah, I think he had never watched the show before, so that was helpful.
Has he ever watched it?
He's never watched the show, okay. Which I hadn't even watched the show before I went on it. And so that was also helpful for me. But I think for him, like, he just wanted to get to know Maddie, like, off of social media, Maddie, you know, off of TV.
And
like,
he got to he found out about you, not through the show or social
which
media.
Which was such a God thing, I think, for the both of us to know, like, you know, we're in this for, like, the purest reasons. And it was through a mutual friend and not, like, you saw something and so you, like, DM'd me or, I don't know. It was the most, like, God thing. And so we both had peace, you know, from the very beginning with that. And yeah, I mean, I would say like there was definitely a lot of evaluating we both had to do, which was cool because, I mean, I was literally writing this book as I was dating him. And so I got to really speak into this book of like, what does it look like to be in a relationship where you're evaluating the other person? You're also evaluating all together and trying to figure out like, okay, are you God's best for me? And then are we God's best for each other? And so I really got to speak from like a super authentic place, you know, in writing this book and in figuring that out myself.
And I love that you put your vows in there.
Yeah.
That was really sweet.
Yeah.
That was really great.
Yeah. We decided we wanted to write our own vows. And it's so funny. It was engagement season and we were only engaged for 3 months. We had a very short engagement.
Y'all didn't need much time.
We're ready to go. People thought we were psycho. And I was like, sorry, like I'm just ready to be married to him. And then when you're pursuing purity, I'm not trying to wait forever. And so we knew, we were like,
but were you extra nervous? Because like, I love that you're pursuing purity. I think that's wonderful. And you have 3 steps for pursuing purity, which I want to talk about. Was that nerve-wracking though? Because like,
yeah, and Grant and I have very different pasts too. Yeah. And so, you know, his past is redeemed and mine, you know, came in from a different angle. And so that was something we were both super prayerful about. But no, it was honestly just like so natural. I mean, we prayed about it before and it was great.
Trying to get all up in sex life, but
no, it was great. And I mean, of course, like I think with anything, literally with anything within the context of a relationship, like, you know, the more comfortable you get with someone, the, I guess, like better the relationship is and feels and all the things. And so I think, of course, like it takes time and, mm-hmm. you know, just continuing to work at it, just like you work at your communication and your conflict and all the other things. But it's been, it's been such a blessing. So
tell me the 3 steps or the 3 tips you have for purity. And I love this that you say, don't push the line as far as you can away from purity. Like, try to stay as pure as you can. Like, that's such a good distinction. Instead of, like, getting right to that line where, like, okay, I'm not going to cross this line. Just try to, like, stay as pure as possible. Yeah. That's, like, a great mind shift about it.
I think I realize, like, purity in my life with my experience has just been such a gift and it has given so much more than like it's taken away, I guess, quote unquote. I think for a lot of people it's like, oh, like, well, I don't want to give this up. Like, this is fun or this is, you know, I have to have this in my relationship. And for me, I saw that purity in my life brought such peace and joy and freedom and confidence. And it just brought even more clarity to the relationship. Like, I was really able to distinguish, are you the person that I want to do life with forever? And it's fully based on your character and your convictions and, you know, the vision we have set for our life and how we want to be purposeful and on mission with our life. And I was really thankful that there was, you know, not anything that was really like clouding that judgment. We were able to have such clarity in making those decisions and evaluating our relationship. It's definitely not easy. Purity's not pursuing purity for anybody. Like, it's not easy. But I can testify that it's so worth it. Even if, you know, that hasn't always been your story, but you make a decision, you know, today for it to be your story from this point forward. Because it's something you even pursue in marriage, you know, from what you look at to what you listen to, you know, who you allow in your circle and in your life. Like, it takes on all different forms. But yeah, I talk about, you know, different ways that I've found that purity has really helped, you know, me in my life and protected me and how God has given me peace in pursuing that purity. And You know, one is just like in prayer. Like I just always covered it in prayer. I was like, I can't do this without you, God. I really need you. You know, my feelings and my desires are strong, but I just trust that, you know, you're even stronger. And so really like leaning on God, and then doing it, like pursuing purity in community and with people, was really, really huge for, I mean, for me in all seasons of my life. Like, I think for me, you alluded to this early on, but I stumbled across pornography when I was like 13, and I carried such shame for so many years.
Me too.
Yeah.
I think I was like 9.
Yeah.
I didn't even know what I had found.
Right.
Like, oh my
God.
You're
like, what even is this?
Because
you're still developing. And so your mind and your body is like, what's happening? And I think, you know, for me, like, those years that I kind of kept that like a secret, it was just eating at me, and mm-hmm. I carried so much shame. And then I found in college, you know, a friend and someone that I trusted their relationship with God, and I trusted that they loved and cared for me. And I confessed that, and I just said, hey, you know, this was something that I struggled with when I was 13 to like 15. And, you know, I've carried so much shame since then, and I don't want to walk in that. I want to walk in freedom. And they just like, they cared for me. They ended up sharing with me that it was a struggle they struggled with too, which I'd felt like I was the only one in the world.
Which isn't that how we all feel?
Yes.
When we keep it like, secrets keep you sick. You
yeah.
know, it's like when you have this like secret, you
yes.
think you're the only one
right.
who's going through it. But then as soon as you share it,
you're like, oh.
Like
literally, you're like, oh, like you struggle this too. I'm not the only one who's had these struggles and
it doesn't
secrets
make me
and,
a bad person.
Right.
I just need help.
Yeah.
You know,
exactly.
talking it through and some guidance.
Totally.
And God to
yeah.
get in there.
And in confessing that to a friend, like and surrounding myself with, you know, people that I could confess to and that could hold me accountable. There was just such freedom in that and accountability in that. Like even those same people that would hold me accountable, like, hey, I know you're going on a date tonight. Like, you know, what's the plan? What's the layout? What are you doing tonight? And like would text me and check up on me. And, you know, I told them, I made it a rule that like when I get home from a date, you know, ask me everything that we did and like what our night consisted of. And I have to tell you. And that just like held me to such accountability to where like I would be thinking about that, of course, like, okay, I want to honor God. But then too, it's like, oh, well, if I cross a line, like I got to confess it and tell this to my friend. And so like that sort of accountability helped me so much.
So that's, I guess, the power of confession.
Yes. I mean, and the Bible talks about it like in James chapter 5, I think it's verse 16. It talks about like there is healing and there is freedom when you confess to someone. Like, truly, there is healing that happens when you literally just say, hey, I'm bringing this secret to light. Like, I'm just like, I'm telling this to you. And then they pray over you. Like, there's such healing in that. And so, yeah. And then I would just say, like, the last one is just like, know like your why and like pre-decide before the moment.
I love that. Pre-decide.
Yeah, like, know why. Like, for me, it wasn't enough for me to just say, like, oh, I just should save myself for marriage because that's just like the rule or like that's just like what I should do. For me, I wanted to know the why because I knew that if I lost my why, I would lose my way. Like it would mess me up every time if I was just trying to follow this rule. Like I wanted it to be
you
something so much
reason.
Deeper. Yeah. I wanted there to be like a true conviction behind it. And so for me, like getting to that point of being like, okay, I really, really like for me, what it comes down to is like I want to live in such a way where I honor God with every decision that I make and in knowing that right now like my body, my heart, my soul, my spirit is fully God's. And then one day when I get married and I say yes to someone forever, then it's going to be like fully theirs and still fully God's, but now I'm becoming one with another person. And so when that became my why, it was like so much more like oomph behind, you know, that decision rather than just like, oh, I just should do this. And so I pre-decided outside of the moment of like, okay, this is my why. This is my value. This is what I'm going to do so that when I, you know, would find myself in moments of temptation and it got late and we were in the car or we're sitting on a couch or whatever it may be, I would have to remind myself of that in those moments.
And I think people don't realize this too, is when you are intimate with someone, all of that personal, but the wiring of that person is transferred.
Yeah.
Like you really do like connect and take on that other person's energy in such an intimate way that
yeah.
it's transferred into your being. You know, you have to be very, I didn't know all that when I was younger, but like now I'm just like, you really get a lot of baggage.
This is it, your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Bissell Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Growing up, this world is so hard to navigate. And that's why, like, I love that you wrote this book. I love that you are, like, speaking this message loud all over the place. I love that you're being that beacon because I feel like in this world especially, and I've been in the entertainment industry now for so many years, people who have a platform a lot of times don't speak up about God, you know, because it's just not really in our culture all the time. Yeah. And there's so many forces that are trying to take people down, that are stealing our joy, that are stealing people's souls. And people get lost in it all because you don't even know how to navigate because we're not taught how to protect ourselves. You're not like this book that you lay out. You're giving step by steps of how to keep your heart protected and safe with God so then you can actually have joy and have a happy, fulfilling life and not be brokenhearted all the time because the world will break your heart. So I love and take advantage of you because it's just this world that we live in, which is so traumatic.
Yeah.
But I love that you are just like with a megaphone yelling, like saying all this out loud and you're being this beacon because we need it more than ever.
Thank you. And I think it's, you know, a lot of it is like I've just fallen a lot of times and I'm like, I've learned a lot.
And you're sharing.
I've failed, you know, along the ways. I'm definitely no relationship expert by any means.
You're sharing what you've learned. And you really, I feel like after reading your book and like seeing your journey, like you really know what's good and what's true. And you know that that's God.
Yeah.
And that's really all there is to it. And I finally, like, I feel like I'm finally at that place. Like I've always known God is what's good and what's true. But I've just tried to do my human existence so hard on my own for so many times. And I feel like I've finally fallen so many times and been in the mud so hard. Like this last 3 years, I feel like I was actually in like cement. And finally coming out of it, I'm like, okay, I think I just got to start saying loud and proud that like it's all about God. Like and just talking about that. But it's kind of like nerve wracking when you start talking about that.
Yeah.
Do you ever feel that?
I mean, it's definitely, I would not say like the world we're living in, like you were alluding to, it's not popular and it's not what, you know, most people are doing. And so there's definitely going to be backlash and hate and, you know, a lot of opinions around it. And for me, it just comes down to, it's like, I don't know, like, I just know what matters most. And I just, I've found like the gospel and God's love for me and just the hope and the peace that's found in Jesus to be the greatest love of all time. And like, that was my heart behind this book is like, I've searched in people, places, things, status, all the things for love and for completion and for fulfillment and for satisfaction. And it's like those things satisfy for a moment and then leave me even more empty than before. And I've just found with the Lord, like I am always, always, always satisfied and content. And there is a peace and a joy that surpasses knowledge and understanding that comes with just following Him and trusting in Him. And it is the greatest decision I have ever made. And it is a love that is available to every single one of us, but it's up to us to receive it and accept it. Because I've been around, like, you know, people who have the biggest following, you know, and the most money and just every single thing I think most people think that they want. And yet they're still going to bed at night saying, like, is there more? Like, is there more than this? And then I've also seen people who, like, don't really have much of what the world would call, you know, a lot. And they have Jesus, and yet they have everything.
And joy.
They have joy. They have peace. They have contentment. And so I've just seen in my own life, it's like, it's not found in a relationship status. It's not found in a job. It's not found in a following. It's not found in anything of this world, but it's found in a love so much greater, and in a faith in God. And that has truly been the love that, like, has transformed everything for me.
I totally agree with you. I feel like I got into the music business and the music industry because I wanted to be validated. I wanted people to love me.
Yeah.
I wanted to become famous because I just thought, oh my God, if I could get famous, then people will think I'm wonderful and this giant hole in my heart will be filled. And I grew up going to church. I mean, I grew up knowing about God.
Yeah.
I didn't have, like, I had great parents, but, like, I was like, if I could just, like, be seen by the world, then I could be validated and loved and I could be happy. And then I got into all of this stuff. And then you realize there's such, like, a fourth wall behind it all.
Yeah.
Once you, like, get behind the scenes of, like, what it takes to actually make it in any kind of entertainment industry or really any industry in general, there's so much corruption. There's so many things that, like, you just lose yourself doing.
Mm-hmm.
And same kind of thing. Seeing so many celebrities. Love so many celebrities. Like, so many great people. But seeing so many people not happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And it's like, okay, you have money. You have success. You have fame. But yet, you're not happy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want that. I don't want what you have.
Yeah.
I want happiness. I want peace. I want joy. I want contentment. And I want to wake up and feel like I am actually in my purpose, which
yeah.
is using my gift to help other people feel like they have a purpose,
mm-hmm.
which is ultimately to wake up to God, that we're all here to love our life and to spread this love and to help each other.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like get to that love.
Yeah, yeah.
But you totally. Can't get it. I mean, you can enjoy the other things in life, but that cannot be the guiding light.
Yeah. And that was what I realized, you know, that moment where I felt like, you know, convicted in my heart of you're looking for the right thing in all the wrong places, of just like you're trying to find this divinity in humanity. You're trying to find this, you know, unconditional, lasting love that meets every longing and desire of your heart in another person. And that's just not possible because, you know, that, like, silly, not silly, but that, like, phrase that we've heard so many times of, like, we have a God-shaped hole in our heart.
It is. It's
you know,
true.
It's really true.
Only, like, God can fill it.
Only God can fill it because he's the one who created it. And so he's the only one that can satisfy it. And I've learned that through a lot of ups and downs and failures and mistakes and unmet expectations. But ultimately, you know, truly realizing, like, he is the only love that will satisfy.
And I actually... What were you saying right before that about the God-shaped hole?
Yeah. There's a God-shaped hole in our hearts that yeah. ultimately only he can fill.
Yeah.
It's like right there on the tip of your tongue. I can feel it.
It was a really great point. It'll
come to
me.
It's going to be really powerful.
It's going to be great.
It's going to be great.
How do you know when you have a red flag? Because you talk about red flags.
Yeah. So I have, oh my gosh, I've hit this microphone 500 times.
I mean, I'm like, giving a great side view to this camera too. It's going on.
It's going on. We're being real. Okay.
I mean, it's called get real.
Yeah.
Oh, and then I know what I was going to say. How do you deal with the suffering of the world? Because mm-hmm. that is a very stressful thing for me. But yeah, let's talk about red flags. I get overwhelmed by the suffering of the world. So is that why you write this book? So you're like, let me share good news with the yeah. sad world.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, yeah, again, that's why it's like, if your hope is in this world, like, you're going to constantly be let down, and you're going to, like, whether your hope is ever in Jesus, like, your hope is going to continue to be let down if it's at all in this world. Like, and for me, knowing that, like, my hope is in heaven and that this world is not my home, but that I'm living for something bigger than me and for something greater than anything this world can give me, gives me peace, because this world is suffering and because this world is dark and it feels like it's one thing after another. And it's like, oh my gosh, is this ever going to get better? Is this ever going to end? And there's just so many moments where I'm like, I'm so grateful that my hope is not in a spouse, that my hope is not in a job, that my hope is not even in myself, that my hope is in something so much greater than all of that.
I get lost in And then let's not forget to talk about red flags, because I love that. I get lost, though, in the innocent being taken advantage of.
Yeah.
That's what, like, really takes me to my knees. Like, in, like, the kids and all the stuff. I'm like, whew, that's, like, real heavy.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it, like, gets me every time. I'm like, how is that going on? Like, how is there so much evil? And I do believe so much in God. But I'm like, how are all these innocent lives just constantly getting destroyed? Like, how do you process that? Because that, like, I can't even, like, sometimes think about it, because I literally, like, ruin my day.
Yeah.
And then I'm not of any use to anything. But I'm like, how do you process that? Like, the child trafficking, that one I just can't get over. Yeah. And, like, all that. The children, really.
And that's, like, one of my biggest passions. I remember in high school, I wrote an entire, like, senior thesis on human trafficking and actually the link to pornography, because the two actually are very much linked together. And just realizing, like, how big that industry is and how corrupt it is, that how many people are involved that you would be shocked by, is so disheartening and frustrating and discouraging and appalling. And I think for me, it's like, there's so many things I can't understand. Like, there's so much I can't make sense of. Like, one of my very closest people in my life, who, like, loves God with all of her heart and has the purest soul, just, like, lost her 23-year-old brother to a car accident. And I'm like, I can't make sense of that. Like, why? Like, why? You know? And I think there's just so much that I'm like, I'll never understand on this side of eternity. And we live in a broken, dark, and sinful world.
I know.
And it's just like, that is the reality. It's been that way since sin entered in, which is, like, we find out about in literally the third chapter of the Bible. And since that moment, the world has been broken and the world has been in desperate need of a perfect savior. And it's just, there is no perfect answer. But I think for me, it's like realizing I'm never going to understand, but I am just going to turn to the one who, like, is the only hope in it all. And, like, I know that one day there will be, like, I will be in a perfect heaven. And, like, that is when everything will be perfect and there will be no sin and there will be no brokenness and there will be no shame and there will be no people getting taken advantage of. And I know, like, that's what I know. And it's like, that's what I can cling to, is, like, that side of hope and light and truth and goodness. Because when I dwell on the other and the darkness, because I'm very justice oriented and it, like, keeps me up at night. I would say, like, trafficking and, you know, children who are abused and neglected. Like, those are, like, my
same
biggest things. I worked in foster care and adoption
for
a long time, and
I bet you saw so much.
Yeah.
And you don't want to turn a blind eye to it, but it's so hard to see.
And that's where it's just like, you help how you can help. Like, we should all be, one, praying, I think, for those who are, like, who don't have a voice in a way, like, who have been stripped of their voice and who have been abused and taken advantage of, like, being a voice for them and advocating for them, praying for them, and then helping them however we can, whether that's donating, giving, spreading awareness. I think that is where we do have a role as, you know, a society, as humans, as Christians, like, to step up and to do what we can. And then just, like, prayer is so powerful, honestly. Like, I've just seen that change so much in my life and in you know, circumstances around me, is just, like, the power of prayer and, like, even coming together with other people, like, and praying, like, just praying for justice again, you know, praying for our nation to return under God again, praying for, you know, just our government and people making big decisions and people who have a lot of control and just all of those things, you know. And yeah, just the whole thing. Prayer has been the thing that I've clinged to when I don't have the answers.
Well, and I love talking to people like you, because I can get just lost in my feelings and then I sometimes can just live at the bottom of the drain with them. But I love seeing you, like, take your platform, do something with it. Like, you're making a book that's going to be helpful to people reading it, to give them courage to stand in their faith, to pursue their faith. Like, you're doing something that is going to encourage people to go towards God. You are going to be that beacon of light. Like, and I think that when you come back down to it, it's like, what can you do? You know?
Yeah, totally.
How can you use your life and your platform and your community and whatever influence you have wherever you live to bring people to light?
Yeah. And know that you're not alone. Like, I think all of our stories in a way are, of course, different, but there is, like, a commonality in just, like, the wrestle within. in just like bringing those like secrets and the shame and the all the different things that you feel like confessing it and bringing it to light. Like, don't let it fester in darkness, because I've just found in my own life that's where things just multiply and spread. Insecurity spreads, lies that I believe spread, and just shame spreads. Shame spreads in secrecy. And so just bringing those things to the light and inviting people in, you know, no matter what your story is, you know, whether it's a mistake that you made or someone, you know, even taking advantage of you against your will.
Don't keep it dark and hidden.
Yeah, like bring it into the light and yeah, just know like you're not alone in that. And it's so sad to say that it's way more common than I think any of us would ever realize. Like, even working with a lot of young adults and college students, like just the amount of, you know, young girls that I talk to that, you know, struggle with pornography or that have been taken advantage of or, you know, all these different things. Like it's very common. And so it wrecks me. And I'm pretty much in my prayer closet every morning praying.
You have a prayer closet?
I have a prayer closet. Yeah.
I interviewed this other amazing girl named Harper Grace who actually loves you so much. She's a country artist and she's like super strong in her faith. And she sang the national anthem when she was 11 years old. It went viral for the worst national anthem of all time. She was getting like knives put in her mailbox, like hate mail. She ate every single meal at school alone in her locker, in the bathroom stall. And she could have easily like thrown in the towel, but instead she went hard into her faith in God. Wow. And she has a prayer closet. She forgave everyone. And now she has a single out called Oh Say Can You See Me Now? And it's all about like God. And like, she went on a tour where she's singing the national anthem. And
that's amazing.
It's just such a redemption story. But she was telling me about her prayer closet and how she goes in there all the time and writes on her wall.
Yeah.
What do you do in your prayer closet?
Oh, girl, everything.
I'm like, my prayer closet.
No, truly. That's just like for me every single morning, like where I'm filled up with God's love to be able to have the love that I need to give to those around me. Like, I'm like, I have nothing if I haven't first been filled up by God, because
yeah, totally.
If I try and go just out on my own, then they're just getting Maddie and nobody needs that.
I mean, you're pretty great.
Nobody needs that. I'm like, let's give them God. And so for me, it's just every morning, like coming over God, you know, opening up the Bible, praying scripture and truth over myself, over the world, over my marriage, over my city, church and family and so much more. And just like, yeah, just communing with God. I think a lot of times we see like prayer is weird and we think that like our relationship with God is so different than our relationship with other people. But it's like weirdly very similar, you mm-hmm. know, like it's, I feel like it would be weird if, you know, we were friends, but we never talked. Right. And so for me, prayer is like one of my favorite ways to connect with God. And just, yeah, talking, listening, praying truth. Is huge. So yeah, my husband also uses the prayer closet.
How do you feel God talk to you?
You know, through his word, I think through people, and then sometimes just like things just being pressed on my heart, you know. I think sometimes there's not, you know, it's not this like audible voice, but
Maddie,
it's, you know, written in the clouds. Not that he can't do that, but I would just say that, you know, for me it is usually looks like yeah, just like feeling something light on my heart. You know, when I say God speaks to me, I really mean like he just like laid it on my heart. Like I just felt, you know, whether I felt a peace to do something or I felt, you know, a word laid on my heart, or he uses other people, you know, to speak to me. So yeah, lots of different ways.
And once you get in the practice of like recognizing it, then you can notice, oh, okay.
Right.
That's God.
The more you spend time with God, the more you'll know his voice. Just like the more you spend time with anybody, the more you'll know them, you know. So the more time we spend together, the more I'll know your humor and your, you know, the things about you and how you speak and how you talk. And so for me, it's like, okay, I got to spend that time with God. If I'm saying I want to live for him and I want, you know, to follow his peace and where he's leading me and to know his voice, then it takes that intentionality of like setting aside that time with him every single morning and just like throughout the day too. But I forgot to answer your question on red flags.
Oh, yeah. Let's hear about the red flags.
Totally different topic.
No, yeah, it's great, though.
From prayer to red flags. I'm like, actually, you know, they all go together. It's fine.
They do. It all is like...
It all clicks.
It does. Red flags are huge. And I feel like it is so easy to ignore them, especially when you're dating someone super sexy or something or cool.
Totally.
Or like you said, you just think maybe you won't get someone else again or you're not worth it. There's a million reasons why you're going to want to ignore the red flags.
Yeah. Yeah, and the red flags that you tolerate or ignore at the beginning end up laying the groundwork for the relationship that you build on.
Oh, drop the mic.
Which is like, hey, let's lean into the red flags, not run from them.
let's say that again. The red flags that you tolerate in the beginning end up laying the groundwork for the future of your relationship.
Yeah.
It
wow,
is so
so remembered that.
That one hit me right when you said it. And I really have a memory of a goldfish. So that one was like strong.
Yeah.
But I really feel like if you, you can't ignore that. And it will, it's like who you marry and who that who you spend your life with. I've mm-hmm. now been married almost 10 years. Literally determines 90% of your happiness.
Yeah.
I can say that 100% true. And my husband and I are great. We've continued to grow together for our whole journey. And it's been wonderful.
Yeah.
But you are that person.
Yeah. They shape your becoming.
Everything. They shape you know, everything about you.
Your relationships. We were not made to do life alone. We need people around us. But the people we surround ourselves with matter so much. And so, yes, obviously romantic relationships, but even friendships.
Yeah.
Like our environments matter so much.
And you talk about this in the book too, like who you surround yourself with.
Yeah.
It's huge.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So let's hear these red flags.
So red flags. I have a whole chapter called Love is Blind, Red Flag Alert. And we talk about like seven different red flags.
And you have a really cute Instagram post where you're popping all the red flag balloons. So cute.
Yes. Yes. It was, that was actually really fun. I was like, I should do this more. I'm like taking out like my anger on these balloons.
Yeah.
I'm like, wow.
Listen, ice cream and a pillow sometimes.
Yeah.
It's fine.
Oh, it's fine. We're fine.
It's great.
Everything's great.
Everything's great.
Yeah. So I think for me, what I realized was there were multiple times in my life where I was ignoring red flags because I was justifying why the relationship could work and trying to force it and make it happen.
Which sounds crazy now that you say it out loud because you've gotten to your true love and you're married and you know.
But
that
in the moment,
you think you'll never get there. You think it's not going to exist. You
right.
think it's not going to happen.
Totally. And you're so caught up in your feelings. And that's why it's so important. We just touched on this, but to have people in your life. I've had so many times like relationships I'd be in where people would have to come up to me and be like, Maddie, I think you're blind to this. And so like, I think your feelings are all wrapped up and your emotions are all wrapped up in this that you're not seeing clearly. And so I just want to call like to your attention. There's just some things I'm seeing that I don't think is God's best for you. And I am so grateful that I have not just like, yes, people in my life, but people who are like, no. It's not good.
You actually need no people
not,
in your life.
It's not cute. It's not cute. It's not good. Yeah.
I feel like your mom is that.
Oh, she's
I already love your
truly
mom.
Truly one of the best gifts on this planet.
I love her. I love how she prayed for you to hate that one boyfriend who was like terrible. And then you woke up and you just couldn't stand him. I was like, oh my gosh, mommy Prue.
She's intense prayers.
I love
and her
that.
Prayers work. The amount of times that I finally looked at her and I was like, you've prayed a lot of people out of my life. You mind praying one in? I wouldn't mind you to pray the right one in. It's about time. So she's literally the best. Her prayers are powerful.
A mom's prayer. Nobody loves like a mama.
Oh, she's yes.
If you're lucky to have a great mom.
Yeah. Yeah. It's I am very blessed that she has been truly like such a rock star in my life of just wisdom and prayer. And I'm grateful for that. But even like beyond family, like having friends, having mentorship, having accountability.
Having know people.
Yeah. That'll just like say the things that you don't always want to hear, but that you need to hear.
You need to hear.
And not doing it to hurt you, but to help you. And I think sometimes that can be hard when it's not what we want it to be. It's like, no, you're just saying that because of this and you're just trying to hurt. And it's like, no, if they really love you and they want what's best for you, they're going to say things that might hurt you in a moment, but might save you for the long term. And I'm like, I'm so grateful for the friends that weren't afraid to like hurt my feelings in
because
a moment.
Because they love you.
Because they love me. And it ended up saving me so much more in the long term. And so for me, having those friends that could see the blind spots in my life were really, really huge. But I talk about, you know, seven different red flags. A few of those. One is like, don't date potential. Mm. Don't date someone for who they can be.
That's a big one.
Because I think so often we're like,
especially here in Nashville, there's all these like potential artists, which actually everyone don't date them.
Oh,
ever. Like, do not date someone who you think is going to be great.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level.
Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Pluma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.
Well, and I think what's hard is like I think it's in the heart of we want to see the best in people, right? Like
you want to see the best in them because you want it to be the best for
right.
you, ultimately.
Or, yeah, we want this like fixer-upper, right? We want this like crazy like Hollywood movie romance where the bad guy changes good for you.
Right,
and
yes.
It never works out like that. It never, I want to say like 2% of the time, if that, it actually works out like that. And it's like, don't date a fantasy. Mm. Date reality. Like, who are they right now? Don't date someone's potential. Look at their patterns. Look at their purpose. Who are they? Who are they from a consistent day-to-day basis? What decisions are they making? Who are they surrounding themselves with? Who are they doing life with? Are they a person of their word? Do they have strong integrity? I mean, so many things to evaluate. Yes. And like, do your goals align?
Right.
And so I think those are the things we should be evaluating is like patterns and purpose. And do you have peace about it over potential or even over like passion? You know, I think sometimes our passion and chemistry and lust, you know, can cloud our judgment because we're like, you know, you're hot or, you know, but it's like, we don't need someone who can just
die to make out with people. It's like my favorite thing. I would just like go to the bars and I'd be like, oh my God, I just have to make out with you. You're so good looking.
Oh my gosh. But that's real.
It's really not.
I mean, truly, yeah. A lot of us probably think we just don't say. So thank you for saying it.
Oh, I was a makeout bandit. I really was like I was very good about keeping myself pure until I didn't. And then I had like a year and I was like, oops.
Well, and truly, I think that can keep us from like God's best because we can be so clouded by like,
you're totally
good
wrapped
looks.
Up in an infatuation. Listen. Oh my God, this one guy, he like pulled up on his like wake on his like paddleboard with his little dog in front and he had this like buffalo tattoo. And I'm like, did I dream you up? You know, like, did I make you up in my mind?
Am I asleep right now?
Yeah, because you're perfect. And of course it wasn't, but yeah.
Man.
It's easy to fall for the lust.
And good, well, listen, when times are tough, I'll tell you, good looks are not enough. You need something that
good
you need a man.
Good looks are not enough at all.
You need a man that not just like turns you on. You need a man that you can lean on. Like you need someone that can truly be there and that you trust like who they are when no one's around. You trust their relationship with God. You trust their values. You trust, you know, who they are with their people. I mean,
yes.
That's the kind of person that you want, that you have, that you can have a peace about knowing.
It's the only way you'll be able to sustain a healthy relationship.
So yeah, don't date potential.
No,
don't date potential. And then I would say like, if their behaviors don't follow their beliefs, like if they're not following who they say that they are. I think sometimes we're like, is this the person? Like, God, show me, reveal it to me. And he's like, hello, just look at their behavior. Just look at who they are.
Yeah, it's like, what
else do you need?
I'm literally like, I basically made a billboard for you.
Like, I don't need to show you much else. Like, sometimes truly, like, their behavior is the answer to the question that you're asking. Is like, just look at who they are. Look at their behaviors, because their behavior will reveal what they truly value. Like it will reveal what they truly value. And so if you want to know who someone is, look at what they value. Their behaviors will follow that. And if they say they value you, they will treat you as if they value you. You know, it's not going to be like,
oh, they will
one
day. They're
treating you like crap. And they're like, no, but I just got to grow up. Like, it's just this season or whatever the excuse may be. It's like, no, if their patterns and their actions and their behaviors aren't aligning with the words that they're saying, red flag.
Mm. Okay, two little quick stories and then we'll wrap up. Okay, first off, on The Bachelor, when you went home to your family, I will never forget this because I wanted to take a mental note. I don't even remember exactly what it was, but I was like, I want to do that with my family. Y'all do this like plate thing?
Special plate.
I was like, that is so sweet. And what a sweet way to like explore a person in your family, what they're, what was it? I just remember it was like the sweetest moment.
Yeah, we've been doing it literally since I was a child. I don't know whose idea it was, my mom or my dad's, but yeah, we had this thing in our family where like every time we would sit down and have dinner together at the dinner table, one person out of the five of us would have a different plate than everyone else. And that would be the special plate. And so, and it didn't even have to be like a crazy fancy plate. Like sometimes it was literally like a plastic plate that was a different color.
Yeah.
But it was called the special plate. And if you had the special plate, every single other person had to go around the table and say one thing like affirming about you or one special thing about you that they've noticed maybe that week or
that
just
so
lately. And it was so cool because, and like sometimes it was funny, like my youngest sister, we still joke every now and then about this, but when she was really little, every time she would get it, she would just like always affirm my mom, even if it wasn't my mom. We're like, Mary, it's my special plate. And she was like affirming my mom, but it was always the same answer. It was like, I love you because you love me. And that was like always her answer. But it would just, every single week, it just gave us an opportunity to just speak life over each other and just
to
like affirm and
that person.
Yes. Yes.
Because we forget what's special about ourselves sometimes.
Totally. Yeah. So it's really cool. And it's a cool thing to even integrate into like, you know, a friend coming over or someone you're dating coming over, or a husband, you know, a spouse, whatever. Because it's like, then it like puts them on the, it's like, okay, now you have to go around and say special things about us. And it shows you if they're like really paying attention, you know, to like the intentional things, you know, that about a person's personality or quality or faith or values or whatever.
And then one more story, which I have a daughter who's 4. And so like,
so cute.
I read this part of your book and I was like, oh my God, that would be so hard as a kid. You had gotten a bike with like training wheels and you're like super stoked about it. And it was pink with like streamers. And I just got Sunny one of those. It's like pink with streamers and she loves it. She's on her little training wheels, like cruising the hood. It's really adorable. She just loves it. But your dad was like, okay, you need to give that to your younger sister.
Yeah, I was devastated.
That's hard. That's like a that's a huge testing moment that your dad just like dropped on you.
Yeah, I was devastated. I remember he like comes into my room and he's like,
because he made it a moment.
Oh yeah,
for
it
you.
Was a moment. And like that, I mean, I think like my parents did such a good job of like trying to find very like practical things to like usher in, you know, God.
Teach you life
yeah,
lessons.
Yeah, and to teach us life lessons. And so like, you know, something as silly as like something about a bike, you know, my dad used that as an opportunity to like teach me about something way more valuable. But yeah, he came in and he just was like, hey, you know, you've had this bike for a little bit. I know you love it, but you know, what do you think about giving it to your younger sister?
I think not.
I was appalled. I was like, I will give you the dollhouse. I will give you my new tennis shoes, but I'm not going to give you my bike. Like I was like, how dare you ask that of me? And I just remember like he was super sad that like I didn't, you know, agree at first, but I was like, I said, okay, I'm going to think about it. You know, this is like a big decision for me.
It's probably like one of the bigger decisions in your life at that point.
Oh, absolutely. I was like, let me think about this. And, you know, the next day I had tears in my eyes and I was like, Dad. Okay, I really thought hard about it and I trust you and I love you. And so I know that she needs it more than me. And so I'm going to give her the bike.
Oh,
and I like brought him the little helmet. It was such a dramatic moment and he's probably like fighting back, like laughing. But, he just used that moment to be like, Maddie, I'm so proud of you. And like, he gives her the bike or whatever.
And you have to watch her get
it? And I'm watching her get excited and I'm kind of sitting there and I'm like, okay, so
were you
like,
able to like,
I did a good deed. I was like, I did a good deed. I'm that's
so
great.
Happy for you.
Like, yeah, I'm fighting back tears. But then he leads me out. He like takes me around the corner. He grabs my hand and he's like, I want to show you something. And he takes me around the corner and he shows me this like bigger bike without training wheels. Super cool. Like definitely more expensive than the other one. And I just felt like the coolest, most important person on the planet that my dad would pick out something like this for me. And that he would take time to think about me like that. And I just remember hugging him so tight. And he just like told me that moment. He was like, Maddie, I'm so proud of you because you traded in good enough for something better. Like,
but you didn't even know the better was there.
And I had no idea. But he like showed me, he was like, sometimes God is going to ask things of you. Like he's going to ask you to lay down something that you don't want to lay down because it feels good in the moment. Mm. But you have to trust that when he asks you to lay it down, he's got something so much better for you.
That's big.
And I was like,
and how old were you?
Okay. Probably like, I don't know. How old are you
like
when you
like nine? Like young. You're like a kid.
Seven.
That reminds me of that teddy bear thing, you know, where
yes.
God's like,
yes.
But I love my teddy bear and it's this tiny little teddy bear, but God's like, give me this teddy bear. And he has like a giant one
the
behind his
one
back.
One behind him in the
but
picture.
But you don't know it's there.
No,
that's
literally.
Such a good lesson for life though. Like there there is something waiting for you that will bless you.
Yeah.
But you have to trust.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Trusting is really hard.
So hard. And sometimes it's peace. Mm-hmm. Like sometimes it's not in the context of a person or a thing. It's just, it's inward peace. It's joy. It's, you know what I mean? And I think that's what I've seen is like sometimes the better that awaits me is different than what I expected, but it's greater than what I could have imagined.
Exactly. Because we get one idea of how it should be because we've pieced together what it could be based on like our own life yeah. and what we've seen. But we have no idea because history's writing itself every single day.
Right.
You know, so who knows what can happen? There's infinite potential. I think I realized that when I was in my band and like the band abruptly ended. I thought my life was over. And then all of a sudden I got a call to go on The Amazing Race.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh my God, I would have never, ever, ever, ever dreamed that up. And it was the greatest experience of my life, one of them, but like yeah. could never plan for it. Didn't even know that was an option, you know?
That's so crazy. Yeah. You just walk by faith and life will be full of surprises. But like, man, just the journey is so, it's so worth it when you choose to live a life of faith and just be like, okay, trust your God. Like, don't know what's going to come of this, but I just trust that your ways are better than mine.
I love it. Okay. The love everybody wants, what you're looking for is already yours. So true. It's right there in your heart with God.
Amen.
And you know what? You give some amazing steps of how to really, I love that you give steps. I love a step. Mm-hmm. I think steps and like tangible actions
yes.
that you can like really apply to your life. You give such great applicable advice.
Thank you.
It's really great, especially for young girls. Like yeah. I feel like anyone, but like, yes. Girls, like, read this book before you dive hard into the dating world. Or if you're already in there, read it now so you yeah. can, like, clean it up.
Totally.
But it's so great. I love what you're doing with your life, with your platform. I admire you for that. I am grateful for you for that. I'm so grateful to see beacons of light in the world who are, like, sharing God's message on yeah. a big platform. We need it. We need your inspiration. So just thank you for following God and sharing your journey with us.
Thank you. And thank you for you being a light. And it's so cool to see like what God can do with a yes. Like just us being like, okay, God, use me. And just what that, it looks different for all of us, but just what he can do with that is abundantly more than we could ever imagine. So thank you for just having me and being awesome. I feel like I just met a best friend.
And now we're Waco girls for life.
I know.
I mean, like, we're hard for Waco. You live in Waco.
Oh, you're going to come hang, and we're going to find Joanna Gaines, and we're going to hang out with her.
I mean, 254 for life.
Let's go.
Is that still the area code?
I have no idea.
You're still new. Yeah. Okay. I'll show you the website next time I come. I'll take you all
Perfect.
The... Have you been to Smaltz's?
What is that?
It's the best sandwich shop in the world.
Oh, amazing. I'm trying to find good food there, so you can definitely show me.
Smaltz's?
Yeah.
I gotta know what part of town you live in. We can talk about that later. But like, okay. Smaltz's is my favorite. I have to go every single time I go home. It's so good.
Amazing.
Yes. I always leave with Leave Your Light. What do you want people to know? It's wide open.
Oh. We alluded to this a little bit in the podcast, but I would just say Jesus is the only one that can satisfy. Nothing in this world will give you what you're looking for. Truly, Jesus is the only one. And that's coming from someone who has been in seasons of abundance and seasons of lack. And I've just found Jesus is the only one.
I can second that with the abundance and the lack. And I went looking for it in all the wrong places. Didn't find it.
I'm having a cough attack.
Hey, it's okay. I hack every single time before I go on a podcast.
Something's in my throat.
Well, great news. We've wrapped up. Maddie, you're
Woo!
Amazing.
Woo!
Everyone get her book. It comes out September 19th.
Yes.
Okay. Woo! You're awesome. Bye.
I'm like literally have tears in my eyes. I'm like,
is it so meaningful to you? You're crying.
Yeah.
This is literally
the best podcast
ever. Don't cry.
Hey, you cried too.
I know.
We're criers.
I always cry. I cry at least once or twice a day. It happens. I cried earlier today. I was like full blown snot crying. And I had another podcast earlier. It was great. Okay. Bye.
If a new house is on your wish list in the next 5 years, grow your savings faster and experience your dreams with an Ohio Homebuyer Plus account from Kemba Financial Credit Union. A savings account specifically designed to save for a new home where you can earn 7% APY, a $500 matching bonus, and a $1,500 mortgage closing cost credit. Learn more at Kemba.org. Offer expires March 31st, 2025. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. NMLS 292230. Equal housing lender. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Live Nation presents Concert Week. Now through May 14th, get $25 tickets to over 5,000 shows. That's up to 75% off a summer full of your favorite artists like 21 Savage, Alanis Morissette, Cage the Elephant, Celeste Barber, Dierks Bentley, Fade, Hootie and the Blowfish, Janet Jackson, Kidz Bop Kids, Meghan Trainor, Pistol Puma, Sarah McLachlan. Get tickets to more than 5,000 summer shows for just $25. Until now through May 14th. Visit LiveNation.com/Concert Week to learn more and plan your summer with Sean Paul, Sum 41, 30 Seconds to Mars, oh, and Two Door Cinema Club.